All right, ready to dive into something pretty important.
Sounds good to me.
Today we're looking at anxiety and depression.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We've got this blog post from Davenport Psychology to guide us.
All right.
Now, it does focus on, what they offer as a practice, but honestly, the information is really solid,
Okay.
and I think anyone listening can get a lot out of it,
Gotcha.
even if they're, not looking for therapy or
Okay.
anything.
Yeah.
When you were looking this over, what really stood out to you?
You know, right away, they emphasize how common these conditions are.
Yeah.
Anxiety and depression. I mean, these aren't just words. These are experiences that millions of people deal with every single day.
It's true.
You know, it's so important to remember that.
Yeah.
It's not unusual to struggle with these things,
Right.
and there's help available.
Absolutely. And right off the bat, they define anxiety as this, feeling of unease,
Right.
worry, or fear.
Yeah.
And they say it can be a normal response, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
But then obviously it can also become a problem when it's excessive.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I think we've all experienced those moments of anxiety.
Right.
But when does it cross the line? When does it become something more serious?
That's a key point. Anxiety, like, in itself isn't a bad thing.
Right.
Think of it like a smoke detector.
Okay.
It's crucial when there's an actual fire,
Right.
but it's so annoying when it's going off just because you burnt toast.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way, anxiety can be a helpful signal that something's wrong.
Okay.
But when it's constantly going off for no real reason, that's when it starts to, really impact your life negatively.
I get it. So let's talk about those, those false alarms you mentioned.
Sure.
The post lists a ton of anxiety symptoms.
Hmm.
Constant worrying,
Yeah.
restlessness, even fatigue. It's interesting how anxiety can manifest physically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Have you ever noticed that feeling like you need to constantly move, like can't sit still?
Oh, for sure.
What is actually happening in our brains when we experience that?
Well, when you're anxious, your body goes into what's called fight or flight mode.
Right.
It's this evolutionary response that prepares you to either confront danger or run away from it.
Right.
So your nervous system is basically kicking into overdrive,
Okay.
releasing hormones like adrenaline and cortisol, and that surge of energy can make you feel restless,
Right.
agitated, like you need to pace or fidget.
It's amazing how interconnected our minds and bodies are.
Oh, absolutely.
I've definitely felt that restlessness before.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a pleasant experience.
No.
And so speaking of physical symptoms,
Yeah.
the post also mentions muscle tension, headaches,
Right.
and even digestive problems.
Yeah.
It seems like anxiety can really affect the entire body.
Absolutely. It does. And each of those physical symptoms is tied to that fight or flight response. Like, for example, your muscles tense up. They're getting ready for action. Your heart rate and breathing speed up. And then your digestion actually slows down because your body's prioritizing other functions.
So it's like your whole system is on high alert,
Exactly.
even if there's no real threat
Yeah.
present.
Yeah.
That must be so exhausting.
It is.
And it's interesting because the post mentions fatigue
Right.
as a symptom of both anxiety and depression,
Yes.
which I wouldn't have necessarily connected those two things.
That's a great observation. While they might seem different on the surface,
Yeah.
both anxiety and depression can lead to fatigue.
Okay.
With anxiety, it's often linked to that constant state of alertness,
Right.
like your body's running a marathon even
Sure.
when you're sitting still.
Oh, I see.
With depression, it's more about a lack of energy and motivation,
Okay.
feeling drained and weighed down.
So whether your system is like revved up or running low, fatigue can be a sign that something's not quite right.
Exactly.
Which leads us to depression itself. The post describes it as this persistent feeling of sadness or hopelessness,
Right.
and talks about a loss of interest in things you used to enjoy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, just not having the energy or motivation to do the things they love.
Absolutely. And that's a really crucial distinction to make.
Yeah.
Depression goes far beyond just feeling sad.
Right.
It affects your thoughts, your feelings,
Okay.
your behavior, even your physical health.
Wow.
It's not a temporary blue mood.
Right.
It's this persistent state that can significantly impact your life.
Okay, so what are some of the other signs and symptoms someone might experience if they're dealing with depression?
Yeah.
What would you say really sets it apart from, just having a bad day
Right.
or feeling down?
Well, in addition to that persistent sadness, and loss of interest.
Right.
People with depression might experience changes in their sleep patterns.
Okay.
Either sleeping too much or having trouble sleeping at all.
Mm-hmm.
Appetite changes are also common.
Oh, really?
Some people lose their appetite. Others eat more than usual.
Interesting.
And then there's the cognitive symptoms.
Okay.
Like difficulty concentrating.
Uh-huh.
Making decisions or remembering things. It's like your brain is in a fog.
It's interesting you mentioned that fog because I think a lot of people associate depression with feeling sad or crying a lot.
Right.
But it sounds like it can really affect your ability to think clearly, too.
That's right. Depression impacts your cognitive functions.
Wow.
Making it hard to focus, think clearly, and process information.
Yeah.
It can feel like you're moving through mud,
yeah,
both physically and mentally.
Right.
And that can make it even harder to cope with the emotional side of depression.
Absolutely. So it sounds like depression can, like, really take over your whole life.
It can.
We've talked about the symptoms and all that, but what happens when those feelings become overwhelming?
Yeah.
I see the post mentions counseling services.
Oh.
What are the typical first steps someone might pick if they think they need help?
That's when it's crucial to reach out for professional support.
Mm-hmm.
Counseling is often that, you know, essential first step.
Okay.
It provides a safe space to explore those difficult feelings without judgment.
Right.
And start developing some coping mechanisms.
Okay.
And the source mentions cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
Okay.
As a really effective approach for, you know, both anxiety and depression.
I've heard of CBT before.
Right.
But to be honest, I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
Sure.
Can you maybe walk us through like a specific technique?
Yeah.
And explain like how it actually helps?
Absolutely. One of the core principles of CBT is that our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors,
mm-hmm,
they're all interconnected. So the idea is that by identifying and challenging negative thought patterns, we can actually change how we feel and behave.
So it's not about like ignoring negative thoughts.
Right.
But more about learning how to like reframe them.
Exactly. Let's take the example of someone who's struggling with social anxiety.
Right.
They might have a thought like, everyone's going to judge me at this party.
Mm-hmm.
This thought triggers feelings of anxiety and fear.
Right.
Which might lead them to avoid the party altogether.
Okay. Yeah.
A CBT therapist would help them challenge that thought.
Okay.
By asking questions like, what evidence do you have that everyone will judge you?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to a party where no one was friendly?
Right.
This process helps the person develop a more balanced and realistic perspective.
That's really interesting. So it's like retraining your brain,
mm-hmm,
to respond differently to those anxiety triggers.
Exactly.
But it's not just talking, right?
Right.
I remember reading something about like homework and CBT.
Yes. CBT is very action-oriented.
Okay.
Therapists often give homework assignments.
Right.
Which are basically exercises to practice those new thought patterns and coping skills in, you know, real life situations.
Yeah, okay.
For example, someone with social anxiety might be encouraged to start with small social interactions.
Okay.
Like saying hello to a cashier.
Right.
And gradually work your way up to like attending a party.
It's almost like training for a marathon, but for your mind.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, the post also mentions testing services.
Mm.
And I have to admit, that word always makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
What kind of tests are we talking about here?
Don't worry. It's not like those pop quizzes from school.
Okay.
These assessments are tools that help therapists gain a deeper understanding of what's going on.
Okay.
The post specifically mentions the back depression and anxiety inventories.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically questionnaires that are designed to measure the severity of symptoms.
So if I'm understanding correctly, these tests help therapists get a more precise picture of your individual experience.
Exactly.
And then tailor a treatment plan, you know, specifically to your needs.
Precisely. It's about getting a clearer picture of what you're experiencing,
mm-hmm,
not about labeling you or putting you in a box.
Right.
And the source goes on to list a whole range of therapy services.
Yeah.
From individual and group therapy to family therapy and even things like yoga and mindfulness.
Wow.
It's impressive how many different approaches there are.
It really shows that there's no like one size fits all solution when it comes to mental health.
Definitely not.
What are some of the approaches that stand out to you as being particularly effective or interesting?
You know, I've always been really fascinated by the power of group therapy.
Okay.
It can be incredibly helpful for people to realize they're not alone in their struggles.
I can see how that would be like really validating.
It is.
Could you maybe share an example of how group therapy has helped someone? Obviously, like respecting confidentiality and all that.
Of course. I once worked with a group for people dealing with panic attacks.
Okay.
There was one woman who was terrified of going to the grocery store because she's afraid of having a panic attack in public.
Wow.
In the group, she heard other people sharing similar experiences.
Yeah.
And learned how they were managing their symptoms.
Right.
And she realized that she wasn't crazy or weak.
Right.
And she started to feel less alone.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Just hearing other people talk about their experiences can make a huge difference.
It can.
It's like, okay, I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Exactly. And over time, she learned coping strategies from other group members and started to feel more confident.
Okay.
She eventually even went back to the grocery store.
Wow. Good for her.
One small step at a time.
That's great.
Seeing her progress was incredible. It really showed how powerful that shared experience can be.
That's such a great example of how group therapy can provide that support and, you know, a sense of community.
It does.
And, you know, what's really refreshing about this source is how they present all these different options.
Right.
Without saying that one is better than another.
Yeah.
They really emphasize that it's all about finding what works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really highlights that idea that taking care of your mental health is a personal journey.
It is.
There's no one right answer.
Nope.
It's about finding what resonates with you.
Yeah.
What helps you feel better.
Absolutely. And that can involve seeking professional help, of course. But it also involves, you know, those everyday practices that nurture your mental health.
What kind of everyday practices are we talking about?
Well, something as simple as mindful breathing can make a big difference.
Okay.
Just taking a few minutes to focus on your breath. Noticing the sensations of inhaling and exhaling.
Right.
Can help calm your nervous system.
Okay.
And bring you back to the present moment.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I've always been a little skeptical, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Does it really work?
It might sound too simple to be effective.
Yeah.
But there's actually a lot of research showing the benefits of mindful breathing.
Okay.
For reducing stress and anxiety.
Interesting.
It helps shift your focus away from those, you know, racing thoughts and worries. And it allows you to connect with your body and your senses.
So it's not just some like new agey thing.
Yeah.
There's actual science behind it.
There is.
Interesting. What are some other things that people can try?
Connecting with loved ones is another really powerful way to support your mental well-being. Spending time with people who care about you.
Yeah.
Sharing your thoughts and feelings.
Right.
Engaging in activities you enjoy together.
Okay.
All these things can boost your mood and provide a sense of belonging.
Right.
And of course, never underestimate the power of nature.
Oh, yeah.
Even a short walk in the park. Noticing the trees, the sounds of birds singing, the fresh air.
Yeah.
It can do wonders for your mental state.
Those are all great suggestions.
Yeah.
And they seem pretty doable, even for someone who's feeling overwhelmed
or,
you know, struggling. It's like those little acts of self-care can really add up over time.
They do.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, we have.
We went deep into the symptoms of anxiety and depression, explored different therapeutic approaches,
right,
and even touched on some simple everyday practices to help you feel better.
Exactly.
I have to say, I've learned a lot from this deep dive.
Me too.
And I hope you have too.
I hope so.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Remember, understanding these conditions is the first step towards taking charge of your mental well-being. There's no shame in seeking help.
Right.
And there are so many resources available to support you on your journey.
Absolutely.
All right.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought. What small act of self-care can you commit to today?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's taking 5 minutes to practice mindful breathing.
Right.
Calling a friend or simply stepping outside to enjoy the sunshine.
It's the little things.
Whatever it is, make a conscious choice to nurture your mental health.
Absolutely.
Be sure to join us next time for another deep dive into a completely different topic.
Sounds good.
We'll be exploring the fascinating world of, well, you'll just have to tune in to find out.
Looking forward to it.
Until then, happy diving.